in and doing what needs to be done here in the area of ministry, especially with adult ministries and small groups, which is an area we've been lacking for a long time, to really give that some organization and so forth. So we would really encourage you to come next Sunday night, get to know Cliff and Susan and their children. They're excited about coming, and I think they're as excited about it as we are in having them. So keep that in mind. Come next Sunday night for the vote on that. And then we would also like to invite you out to our house where my in-laws, Daryl and Bea Hyde, live, as well as Larry and Connie and I and all the seniors. So if you classify yourself as a senior, whether or not you're a member of the OWLS group here, the older, wiser, loving saints, you may not be part of that, but we invite you to come next Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Cover dish dinner. Call Mildred, she said, before you come, so she knows what you're bringing. Let's turn our Bibles to, I just want to kind of give a devotional this morning because it's extremely important and urgent that we pray for our country. We have been so blessed, and we certainly look at this Memorial Day weekend in a different way than we did a year ago at this time prior to 9/11. Lots of things have changed, and more people are living in fear than in our society than ever before. And even this weekend, we've been put on alert, all of the various law enforcement agencies, because of the potential for suicide bomber or terrorist in some form or fashion. There's a number of passages that I want to call your attention to. One is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. I want to talk about freedom this morning. Where does freedom come from? What is freedom? Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In John 8 verse 36, Jesus said, "Whoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed." So the freedom ultimately comes only through a personal relationship and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Freedom is a state of mind. It's not dependent upon one's circumstances. You can be bound physically, but free internally. Or you can be free externally, as we are in our country, but bound internally. Freedom is a state of mind. It's an old story about a group of ducks. All the residents that lived in this particular village were ducks, and every Sunday morning, the ducks would waddle out of their houses, waddle down the street to their church. They would waddle into the sanctuary, and they would squat in their proper pews. The duck choir waddles in, takes its place, and then the duck minister comes forward and opens the duck Bible. And he reads to them, "Ducks, God has given you wings. With wings you can fly. With wings you can mount up and soar like eagles. No walls can confine you, no fences can hold you. You have wings. God has given you wings. Ducks, you are free." And they all shout, "Amen." And then they waddle back to their home. Like probably many of us do when we hear "you are free." But we continue to be bound in areas of our lives internally. I had a friend in seminary who graduated with me who had spent 3 years in a reformatory for embezzling money. And it was while he was in the reformatory that he came to know Jesus Christ personally as his Savior. And part of Terry Ray's testimony after he, while he was in seminary and following, he said, "You know, when I came to know Jesus Christ in seminary, I experienced true freedom, and I had more freedom while confined behind bars than I ever had when I was outside in the streets." Because you see, freedom does not depend on our circumstances. Freedom is something that we experience in the heart. What are some of the things that hold us captive? What are some of the things that might have you in bondage today internally? Well, one can be a fear of the future. That certainly is state of mind today that many in our society have that they didn't have a year ago. In fact, in the last year, they tell us that the purchasing of antidepressant drugs has literally quadrupled over the past year. People living with anxiety, and that anxiety eventually leads to depression, and so you seek medical help. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I think there's probably a better cure for many who are on those drugs. Not all, but for many who are on those drugs, when they really understand what the Word of God has to say. More people are living in fear this time this year than a year ago. Last month, was invited with a number of other leaders to hear a well-known former Muslim scholar who was a scholar in the Quran, knows the Quran extremely well. He's from Great Britain. And I got to tell you that when I heard him speak that morning, I was very disturbed by some of the things he was sharing about Islam and the designs they have on America. They've made it very known that their intent is to ultimately be global in power. And little by little, they have made some incredible inroads into America, where now it is the fastest growing religion in America. We have over 8 million Muslims. We have 3 mosques in the city of San Antonio that we never had 10 years ago. He had before him 2 tables of documented materials in which he just went through them and showed papers, leading newspapers from Seattle to New York, from one end of the country to the other, are now celebrating Islamic holy days. And I begin to think about our own paper. 10 years ago, you wouldn't have read anything about Islamic holy days. And now they're put up there on the same level with Judaism, with their holy days, as well as Christianity and our holy days. And there's hardly a week that goes by, a Saturday that goes by, yesterday not being an exception, when our own Express News doesn't carry a positive report, a positive article on Islam. And he was talking about the dangers of Islam. He said, for example, when our president, with whom he agrees for the most part in the way he's conducted the war following 9/11, when he said that Islam is a peaceful religion. He said there's 2 problems with that statement. Number one, it's not peaceful. The Quran, in numerous passages, advocates violence and force to overthrow the infidels, including Jews and Christians. And he said, number two, it is not a religion as we Westerners think of religion. And then he proceeded to draw 2 squares. One was a large square, and he says, this represents Western thought. And he said, in that Western thought, you can put your life, and then in a very small square within that larger square, you put your religion. He said, this is how Christians in the West and religious people in the West sort of compartmentalize their religion. Their life is theirs to live, but a small part of that is their religion, and it doesn't have a great impact upon what they believe or many times how they live. But he said, on the other hand, among Muslims worldwide, he said, you take that square, and in that square, that big square, you put religion. And then in a very small square, within that larger square, you put your life. In other words, your life revolves around your religion. Your religion is more important to you than your life. And this is why you have suicide bombers and those who are willing to give up their lives for their cause, which is not a just and worthy cause. And as I heard that, I thought, you know, we as Christians ought to have the monopoly on being willing to die for our faith, shouldn't we? We're the ones who ought to be able to say with Paul, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Or that Christ might be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And maybe one of the reasons why we're beginning to experience the judgment of God in our own country is because we Christians for too long have thought, my life is my life rather than His life. The resources that God has given to me, they're my resources, they're not God's. The time that God has given to me, the time that I have, it doesn't belong to God, it really belongs to me, and I'll give Him a little portion of it over here. I'm just saying how subtly even leaders are being duped and deceived. Tony Blair, who's been very supportive of our position of war against terrorism and our president, he said regularly, daily, now reads out of the Quran. One of the leading bishops in Great Britain this past Easter, 40 days before Easter, during the Lent season, recommended that all of his pastors in the Anglican Church, forego reading the Scriptures for a month and do nothing but read the Quran and fast. Is it all in the name of understanding, coexisting with Islam? No, we're to love the people who are trapped in any kind of false ideology. We're to love them. But the bottom line is, they're not free. True freedom is found only in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, that morning when I walked away from listening to him, Sammy Tippett was there, some others, and I was talking to Sammy afterwards, and he said, yeah, that's the way it is. That's the way it is in the Muslim world. And we Christians are sleeping. And I began to experience a little bit of fear. And later on, I discovered that fear was leading to anxiety. And within a day or two, that anxiety was turning into depression. And Connie even talked to him about it. She said, why are you so down? I said, I guess I'm just overwhelmed with what's happening right now in our country and what I've heard. And then God began to speak to me through various verses that I had memorized years ago, such as Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Or 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we're depending upon the Spirit of God and trusting in Him, then we're not to be living in fear. Well, you might be in fear over things about the future of which you have no control. Could be your health or your family or how your future needs will be met. There are people who are living in fear of leaving their houses today that weren't in fear a year ago, or traveling by plane that weren't in fear a year ago. An Arab chief tells the story of a spy who was captured and then sentenced to death by a general in the Persian army. And this general had the strange custom of giving condemned criminals a choice between the firing squad and the big black door. And as the moment for execution drew near, the spy was brought to the Persian general, who asked the question, what will it be, the firing squad or the big black door? The spy hesitated for a long time. It was a difficult decision. But he chose the firing squad. Moments later, shots rang out, confirming his execution. The general turned to his aide and then said, they always prefer the known way to the unknown. It's characteristic of people to be afraid of the unknown. Yet we gave him a choice. The aide said, what lies behind the big black door? Freedom, replied the general. Freedom. But I've only known a few brave enough to take it. When we know the truth will set us free. But we've only known a few, haven't we, who are courageous enough to take it. Freedom and liberty is not something that is unique to America, as wonderful as it may be. Freedom is something that is unique to the people of God who know Jesus Christ, who have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God in them. Well, you might be in bondage to your failure to be able to let go of your past. That can be another one. Some of you might have been sexually or verbally abused when you were children. You can't let that go. It could be that you are in fear over past mistakes. You can't let it go. You're in bondage to that. Over failed marriages, failed business ventures, failed to finish school, failed investments over the last couple of years. Oh, if only I wouldn't have had my money there, my retirement funds there. And you're kicking yourself. God knows all about that. It's not beyond His control. There's some things you can change and some things you cannot change. But they're not of any consequence to God. He knows all about your past. He has already forgiven you your past. He has forgiven you all your present sins. He has forgiven you all of your future sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Your sins and your iniquities, God says, I will remember no more. The difficulty we have is in forgiving ourselves and forgetting and moving ahead. One of my favorite passages of Scripture that I've used over and over again with couples and counseling and others is, you got to forget about your past. You got to start each day afresh, anew. Paul says, forgetting the things which are behind, Philippians 3 and verse 14, and reaching forward to the things that are before, I am always, and literally in the Greek he says, I am always forgetting the things which are behind, and I am always reaching forth to the things which are before, and I'm always pressing toward the goal for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. His eyes were on the future, not on the past. And I'll tell you, the enemy does a number on us and keeps us in bondage when we keep looking back to the past and our past failures. He wants you to do that because he doesn't want you to experience true freedom in Christ. Perhaps you're in bondage to addiction, such as alcohol or drugs or reckless relationships. Some are addicted to codependency on others. There's a failure to be able to let go in a relationship that's not good or healthy. There's the failure to appropriate Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And Paul says, you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You have everything you need in Christ. I love the song that the choir did, everything going to be all right in Christ. In Christ. We can even become prisoners to discontentment. It has nothing to do with what you have. Somebody's defined contentment as having what you want and wanting what you have. It's a pretty good definition of contentment. Having what you want and wanting what you have. We look at what others have and we become discontented. Paul, in jail, is writing to the Philippian Christians. He said, I've learned to be content whatever my circumstances are. I've learned both how to be abased, that is to have need. I've also learned how to abound, that is, have more than I need. I have learned to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He had appropriated the life of Christ. And he was experiencing incredible freedom, even though he was incarcerated behind bars. There are those who are in bondage to their poverty, and there are those who are in bondage to their riches. We have a lot of people in America today, they're in bondage to their riches. Their riches control them. Their riches have them in prison. That's why it's good to give to God. It's good to give a lot to God. It's His. And it's a reminder to us, it belongs to Him, so that these things don't own us, but rather we own them. We control them. Ellsworth Kellis, in his book, The Ten Commandments from the Backside, tells about Taller of Strasbourg, 14th century saint and mystic. One day, Taller learned a lesson from an anonymous beggar. God give you a good day, my friend, Taller said as he met the beggar. Well, I thank God I never had a bad day, the beggar quickly answered. Taller was silent for a moment and then said, God give you a happy life then, my friend. And the beggar answered and said, I thank God I'm never unhappy. Now Taller was really intrigued. Never unhappy? What do you mean? Well, the beggar replied, when it's fine, I thank God. When it rains, I thank God. When I have plenty, I thank God. When I am hungry, I thank God. And since God's will is my will, and whatever pleases Him pleases me, why should I say that I am unhappy when I am not? Taller was now in awe of his new friend. He asked, who are you? The beggar said, I am a king. A king, said Taller, half ready to believe it. Where is your kingdom? The man in rags spoke calmly, strongly. In my heart. He whispered, in my heart. I am king of my heart. Do you have true freedom? Or are you in bondage? I want us to bow our heads for a moment. It's Memorial Day weekend. The fragrance of freedom is sweet. Unfortunately, we can never really experience freedom, or rather the joy of freedom, without knowing something of being in bondage. I think of the two gals, Heather and Dana, who last year were in bondage most of the summer, till a man broke through early in the fall. They thought it was their end, but it was the beginning of their freedom. "You're free," he shouted. "You're free. Follow me." And Jesus says the same thing to us this morning. Follow me and you will be free. Lean on me, you will be free. Depend on me, you will be free. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I am the Lord your God, there is no other. You might even name that thing that has you in bondage this morning. Could be alcohol, you're addicted. Might be cigarettes, you're addicted. Could be a relationship. It's not a good relationship, but you're addicted. Could be drugs. Not a good thing, but you're addicted. It might be pornography. Something is just absolutely out of control on the internet. More pornography sites are hit. I just heard this yesterday. On a daily basis, because people can now do it in the privacy of their own homes without fear of being exposed. More pornography sites are being hit on a daily basis than any other single site. Some of us this morning might be caught up in that. You're addicted. You just can't get out of it. Christ can set you free. Give that to Him this morning. Father, I pray that you use these words. When the Son sets us free, we shall be free indeed. Really, really free. Help us to realize there is no true freedom apart from Christ. For those who have areas of bondage this morning, would you give freedom? Break the chains of darkness. Empower them through the presence of the indwelling Christ, I pray this morning. Father, would you also bless what we give to you now as an act of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. As the ushers come, and we're going to hear another very special number here on the harp, and you'll be introduced to these gals a little later on, but I would like to mention that Lois Clark, long-term member here at Wayside, Fred went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. Lois went to be with the Lord during the night. She is Jeff Clark's mother, and the memorial service at this point, it's tentative, but we think it's pretty firm, 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning for Lois Clark. Thank you.
Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we come at this time to remember those who have sacrificed their lives for this country in a military way to achieve freedom. And Father, we don't want to forget their sacrifices. And yet we confess, Lord, that we don't remember very well. It just seems to be our nature to forget. And then, Father, we want to remember those who have served you wonderfully, sacrificially, and even into eternity throughout the history of humanity. God, thank you for those who have gone before us over thousands of years, who have given up all that they had for Christ. Father, we're reminded again today as we look out up here on the platform and see the ladies in red and we see our flag red, white, and blue. And the emphasis, Lord, seems to be red, for the history of your church through Christ is a history of blood, a history of sacrifice. We thank you again this morning, Lord, that you've called people to the Great Commission and moved them across this planet over thousands of years. And that cost has not been the accumulation of things, but the loss of family and friends and their very own life, all because of you. Father, we thank you that we will overcome the enemy not by politics, not by military, but we'll overcome him the same way the saints have always overcome him, for we are not unaware of his schemes. And therefore, Lord, help us not to look at the enemy as flesh and blood, but to see him for who he really is, and to see our propensity, our attraction to sin. Help us to be reminded that we're going to overcome him, our enemy, through the blood of Christ, through the word of our own testimony, that is what we've seen you do here and across this planet. And finally, Lord, we will overcome him because we will not consider our own lives or the lives of our family or friends. We'll not consider the possessions that we have and the attractiveness of position as being more important than you. And we will say yes to Christ and yes to hardship. For Lord, we know that hardship is the way to glory. Father, we praise you and pray this morning for people like Martin and Gracia Burnham in Basilan, for the Yakan people of that island who have never said yes to Christ, who live in darkness and in fear and in despair. Oh God, reach in and rescue them. Use the testimony of these dear, dear people who never intended to spend a year in captivity, but have been called because of Christ against evil that has brought them to that point. Free them, if you will, Lord, but use them all the way to the end when you'll provide their rescue. Father, we think of your church under attack in Palestine and Israel. We think of your church in the Middle East, in India, in Indonesia, where the bloom of Christ is growing daily. We think of your church in Nepal, of people like Nehemiah and John Pradham and their families, who face Maoists in darkness and in despair. We pray, Lord, for those people to linger on and to do it with hope and even, Lord, at times with joy. For Father, we know that you've given us the full measure of your joy. Bless your church, Lord. We are often the very reason why others don't come to see you, because we forget to live by the Christ of the cross. And we thank you in his name, Lord.
Father God, it's all about you, O Lord. We thank you that so many years ago you gave a vision to our forefathers and foremothers to come from another land, from many other lands, to seek a place where they could worship you in spirit and in truth, a land where they could truly be free in spirit and free physically. Father, we thank you for preserving that vision, for preserving those families so many years ago, for raising up men and women who have given their lives the ultimate sacrifice, Father, so that we could enjoy today all that we enjoy. Father, it's all about you. I would pray, Father, that you would keep the vision of these men and women alive who've given that ultimate sacrifice. Father, that you would help each one of us to see that there are things more important than physical life. That living for you, that helping others to mature in Christ, to helping to see for a lost and hurting world to see that apart from you, there is no hope, that there is an eternity of misery ahead. Help each one of us, Father, to be beacons, to point others to you, to be on our knees, Father, beseeching you to do that which only you can do, to give physical life, to give spiritual life, to give eternal life in heaven with you. Father, help us to be your ministers, to have hands that will touch as tenderly as you do, eyes that will see the way you see, not the way the world sees, feet that are eager to go where your spirit would prod them to go, a tongue that would speak only that which is edifying, only that which nourishes and heals. Father, a heart that bleeds blood, the same blood that Christ bled on the cross. Help us to be these kinds of Christians, Father, that the world would look at us and see something different. They wouldn't see us, but they would see the manifestations of your Spirit within us, Father. And help that give hope to a lost and hurting world, Father. Help that to bind up the wounds of those who are in Christ, who are hurting so desperately. Help us to see their needs so that we wouldn't be glorified, but that you would, but that those needs would very real, be met in a very real way, Father. Oh, Father, help that we would remember those saints that have gone on before us, who've given their lives for you, that they would ever be emblazoned upon us. And help us always to remember that there are more important things in life than living a physical life, and that is living for you in the Spirit and the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.
Days when clouds surround us, the rain begins to fall, and the cold and lonely winds won't cease to blow. And there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel, We are tempted to believe God doesn't know. When the storms arise, don't forget we live by faith and not by sight.
More moments before the Lord and bow the knee to Him. Behind me on the screen, you'll see some prayer requests for our nation, and there may be others that God lays on your heart to pray. We would invite you either to pray by yourself or to pray in small groups. I see families sitting together all across this auditorium, and you may want to join together as a family or as a small group of people where you are and just pray out loud the request that God would lay on your heart, and let's lift up the needs of our country before our Lord. Let's take some time now and do that. Would you form groups, please?